Paul had sacked with our meeting. In the last meeting of the 15th of February 2011, Honorable Mila raised issues that he wanted the president to come and bring us on. And those issues are the decision on this hearing, suspension of the DG, meeting with the IDP, that has nothing to do with the cabinet. On the 500 million youth billing, the matter is still under investigation and we'll just have to wait for the outcome of the investigation. On the suspension of the DG, we have to decide as a committee on the day that the department has come and looked up on the suspension of the DG. Welcome, Honorable Dela. I'm raising the issue that you raised. Number our guest that on the 500 million, that is Dela, the one who raised the issue, is still under investigation and will wait for the outcome of the investigation. The second one is on the suspension of the DG. We'll have to decide as a committee on the day that they should come and brief us. The third one on the meeting with the IDT to discuss the salary of the CEO, they will come on the 27th of March to come and bring up on the matter, the 27th of March. Today's business, honorable member, is the consideration of SONA. Number two, briefing by the department on their meeting with other stakeholders, that is the BCOCC, Border Control Operational Coordinating Committee. We requested the department a week after our visit to the border to say they need to meet with other stakeholders. Stakeholders are including the municipalities, the Mpumalanga Public Works, South Health, and the rest of the stakeholders around them. That's the issue that I'm referring to. Without any waste of time, I would like to ask the department to make their presentation on the consideration of SONA.
Some of our officials, but we've got all the relevant officials to deal with the Lubombo. Our main presentation is going to be about the background to the program and the issues that were raised in the previous meeting, especially during the visit to Mpumalanga. Manda will give a brief presentation on the interaction with stakeholders after that meeting. Honorable Chair, before we start, maybe I need to just give a background that explains that with Lubombo, as well as any other project, in terms of our processes as the department, we get the client's name. We never go to a project without the client signing off. The reason for that, the one is obvious, that we have to do what is required by the client. The second one is that we have to have a confirmation of a budget. There's no way that we can go to a project without signing off by a client. This happened in Lubombo. We've got documents here, which will give for the benefit of the committee, and maybe you can circulate that demonstrates meetings that we have, meetings that have got attendance registered and signed by not only the national chairperson of the BCOCC, but the colleagues that were in Lubombo that were raising some of the concerns. We've got those documents here. We've got even demonstrations of the project where we were supposed to, and we signed off, we're supposed to contract based on the budget in terms of the original scope of work. I must just mention again, this is a summary, we'll go through the details. I must just mention again the issues that came to the discussion when we were in Mpumalanga. There were additional works that came in later on in the project. When we presented to the portfolio committee that in terms of the scope of work that were given by the client department, relevant client department, we completed all that. After that, there were additional work, which is very clear in the presentation. In fact, it's clear the work that were given in the documentation that we'll give to, which we completed 100% as we presented in the portfolio committee. Then in December, I think around December 2009, we had additional work that was given, and we started working on that. Some of the projects have already been implemented. Maybe with your permission, sir, then let me get to the actual presentation, which goes into quite a bit of a detail. But I just wanted to summarize the whole process so that we can be at one. We have already started to work on the advice that we got from the portfolio committee at the presentation. So, Chair, if you will permit us, the papers obviously will talk, we've spoken about the papers to bring the portfolio committee, will give the background and the status of the project. When this project was initiated in 2010, the estimate, actually in 2007, I'm hoping the honorable members have got the copy, but we've got the presentation. The estimate at that time was 300 million, which included the professional services that was required. The scope of work was looking at the main border facility, the freight facility, KM4 road and railway station. The exercise to determine the actual needs was.
We all have the same business.
Yes.
Redevelopment.
It's a powerful presentation, which is the one that we have as well as a narrative. It's a document like this, but in black and white, was copied as well as another one like this. Okay, as we mentioned earlier, to actually determine the need for both government of various government departments on both South African and Mozambican side, the departments that were servicing and that gave us their needs were SARS, Home Affairs, SARS, NEA, Agriculture and Health. At that time, remember we said it started in 2007. In 2008, those needs, they formed the master plan of what needs to be done in that area. As we discussed, obviously, if we said we started in 2010, and as we discussed, we had by December 2008, we had some escalations of 1.9 million, and these included the preparatory project that is testing the construction site, obviously, when you are going to start relocation of tenants from the border post to the temporal house so that construction can start, the preparation of the border post. We had a number of meetings. One key meeting was on the 4th of December 2008. to brief the consultants about the financial costing, so that they can understand. Obviously, we have to deal with the budget that we have. At that time, only the master border facility was prioritized at an estimated cost. You remember, we started way back at an estimated cost of 400 million. In January, that was the cost based on the need. In January 2009, it became clear from National Treasury that from the adjustment estimates, we're not going to get any additional funding. So a decision had to be taken on what the budget that we have and what needs to be done in terms of our project, which we call it Project N, to implement the civil works project, which is the South African side of the renovation. And also with the emphasis at that time, because we were getting close to 2010 World Cup, we have to emphasize on projects that will facilitate improve our preparation for the World Cup. That was the phase one of the one-stop border post, as we understand it. We had briefings with the Mozambican government to do the same on their side, same based on the budget, and also in line with the preparation for the border post. We have this catalogue of needs from the client department, but we have to prioritize them to make sure that we are ready for the border post. Then the upgrading of the border post on the South African side for 2010, those were some of the projects that we did. That is the separation of traffic, which includes the light traffic, freight, buses, pedestrians. The design to allow for later incorporation into the one-stop of the one-stop border post. The bigger project is looking at one-stop at border post, but we're saying there were some projects that we can only do. But obviously, we have to keep a sight of that bigger picture when we finalize the project. So the design had to allow for that. There were concurrent negotiations with the Mozambique government on land agreement. The cost estimate of the implementation, there was 150 million, which included escalations on the construction. The tender for our site was a Project M, was advertised in March 2009, and it was advertised in the same year. The funding required, remember, we're talking about a reduced budget now, especially to deal with the priorities of the border post. The reduced budget was 172 million based on the prices. Obviously, you go out on tender, you get the best bidder based on that. That was the amount. The allocation that was confirmed that financial year was about 76 million. And obviously, there's a clear, you know, there are clear regulations in terms of treasury that you cannot construct if you do not have a budget. So for that year, we had 75 million. In September 2009, we had meetings or workshops in Pretoria for both, where both and South Africa and Mozambique agreed that every party should develop their required infrastructure for the purpose of 2010 World Cup tournament. This will emphasize that the construction of a bypass road for freight transport, pedestrian facility with all the capacity for co-location and joint operation. In October 2009, the department advertised the tender for the project to address the upgrading of the border, construction of the bypass, development of temporal pedestrian buildings, as the permanent operation office for pedestrians. In January 2010, a successful bidder was handed over the site with the emphasis on prioritizing the bypass road and other civil structures. In June 2010, the bypass road was handed over to the BCOCC for utilization, while the contractor in Mozambique headed over their part to the Mozambican authorities. The status quo of the project, additional work or changes have been received, the requirements for additional work, which is what we were talking about, to align it to the operation requirements. These are information technology, civil infrastructure in all buildings, all new buildings. This now, after that additional requirement, because we have already started, has already been finalized. The installation of air conditioning unit for server room, weatherproofing and ramps at the allocated offices, changes on the staff offices, installation of security fence, installation of a boom gate, and site at bypass, installation of toilet facilities at the canopy. These items are under the attention of the contractor, and some of them, as I've mentioned earlier, have been finished, and some will be finalized on around the 25th of February, but a number of them, they are still ongoing, and some of them are still waiting the bridge committee authorization. During our visit to the portfolio committee visit to the Limombo, a concern was raised about how the precinct looked, you know, in terms of cleanliness and in terms of landscaping and all that. As a department, we've taken that seriously. We've taken to the minister to raise it and look at how we can address that, and we have started to agree. We have agreed on a project on how we are going to address the concerns of the portfolio committee, obviously with the government priorities, the focus being on job creation. Jenny will talk to add on this. As a department, we agree that we are going to recruit about 80 youth in that area, in that locality, to deal with cleaning and landscaping. I think for now, we've got about 63 that have already been recruited from that area. They will initially have a contract of 12 months. When that contract of three months before the expiry of that contract, we start to engage them, to assist them to develop themselves into a youth co-op, which will have a 3-year contract with the department. We'll also be buying tools for them. One will hire, obviously, we'll look at hiring office parking, because if you are doing landscaping and removing dirt, you will need that. And also some tools to operate. As Jenny will tell you, that we are looking at experienced architect that will guide them. But in 12 months' time, we expect that they will be ready enough to be able to run the project on their own. Let me just mention that, and Manda will add to this. Let me just mention that we are extending this as a department to all the border posts. There is an intention that we will give you the numbers in terms of the target, because for next year, that we will extend to all the border posts. But as a department, we have given instructions to all the operating units to look at other similar projects. But this one is definite. It has been approved by the minister. It will be going on next year. But this one has started. The minister will be launching the Limombo one on the 3rd of March. It started started, all the work has been done, everything is ready, but we're saying we're extending to all the portables, but because the purpose of the portfolio committee has been this one, it is ready. We've appointed the 63 youth already targeting local youth, targeting the local targeting agents. I think we're talking here about the process that we'll go through. That's why we are not forming them into cooperatives. There's an engagement with the Department of Trade and Industry to make sure that they are corporatized properly and all the corporate governance issues they are dealt with. But for now, it's individual contracts with the youth, which will be formalized during the course of the 12 months. I've mentioned that we will be extending it. But one thing that we need to emphasize to the members is that the mandate of public work, and that's the case with all the projects that we do, is actually physical infrastructure, fixed infrastructure. The government departments, they will bring us their name. We will do the physical infrastructure. Soft issues like computer installation of computers, data cabling, furniture, movable furniture and stock, and all those things, they are the responsibility of the client department, which was the case even here. So to summarize, the person is that we did the project according to budget, according to the client needs. The client needs almost in any project, they will be long like this. We cut them down based on the budget because there is no way that we can go and contract without the budget. In this case, we did the same. We had a project which was completed totally to the client requirement, but additionally, there were projects that came in with the budget allowing, we started to implement on those. And as I have mentioned, some of those projects have already been handed over. And the others, they are on construction, others, they are at tender stage. And also, as I lastly said, we have reacted already to the advice of the portfolio committee in terms of keeping the place clean, and the project will be launched on the 1st of March. Thank you. I don't know if I should give to my colleagues, especially Stanley, on the cooperatives to give you more details, and Manza on the project that expands this to other border posts, maybe briefly on other similar projects as well. Which of them is
there? Honourable members, there's the presentation. Should I allow them to add? My worry is one. We requested the department to give us a briefing of a follow-up meeting that was supposed to be held after our meeting in Mpumalanga. I don't hear anything said about Nkomazi municipality. Because the explanation that we got there was that they need to be, that's their area. So I only hope that in the next presentation we'll hear the report on the stakeholder, the participation of the stakeholder.
My mistake, the ex-manda is going to add mainly on that. We can add for the information of the portfolio committee on other projects, but mainly his addition will be on what we have done to consult stakeholders after the portfolio committee.
Thanks, Honorable Chair, Honorable Member. May I confirm that we did meet with the Commerce Minister, in actual fact, Member Bruce was there in check with the state of the country. The decision to actually recruit this young people in the Commerce Municipality was taken in the very same board meeting. May I also confirm that in the very same meeting, the Mpumalanga Provincial Department of Public Works, CCWP Union, was also part and parcel of that meeting. So that can be confirmed. The decision to employ local people is driven by that particular issue.
thank you, Honorable Chair, Members. I'd like to add that the process for implementation started with regard to cleaning up for the long-term climate policy to strengthen through this initiative also the formation of fiscal operations. And currently at EPWP, we do have a three-year work model. They take these young people to an entire business process to ensure that it will not be kind of a flash in the pan, but where they train them to start to set to pricing, tendering, and the entire all the procedures that they need to follow. And we are working closely with the sector education and training parties to ensure that the formation of these co-ops will be successful. We know that in terms of small business development, in general, survival rate can sometimes be very, very low, and we are mindful of that. So, through these screening and at the land port interview, that strengthen the development of these co-ops also, we will keep you abreast with that. You would have heard in the presentation that this particular process the formation of these youth corps will start in the last 3 months. So currently, initially they will start off as workers, and then in the last 3 months of the year, we will actually move over to the formation of youth corps, and it consists of not less rather than 5 people per youth corps.
Thank you for the presentation. Other members, can we engage in the presentation? Honorable Mayor, Honorable Madina, Mama,
yes, Chairperson. Ma'am, on your presentation, you say in 2009, you went out to tender, and the amount was 172 million. But there were not enough funds there. Now, I just need to know, when you re-tendered in 2010, what was the tender amount? And the 10 amount including consultants and everything. And of course then you had your proof of work. And then within your 10 amount, what was the contingency more or less? Percentage. And if then you had a contingency amount, as you're saying, is toilets and windows after your final account, is there no money then left? Because toilets are not so much expensive and room gates, blah, 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 blah. There is no money left to complete here the different work that you saw on site. Then my second clarity will be on your, you say it was 80 years over a year for cleaning and blah, blah, blah. It was 63. Now, this year, on the architect, okay, overseas, what is his job? What type of architect are we talking about? Because architects, we've got two types of architects. Either building architect, health plan, or landscaping architect. So what type of skills is it going to be? Is it a building architect or landscaping architect? Can we hear from those skills?
When
I'm going to call
it, and
honorable...
Thank you. in this present thinking that it's part of the context. You're learning something. Okay. If you're saying it's the context, it means that the 80 people are there. But if you're saying wrong, I'm just walking the the document is saying 80 people are recruited, meaning that 80 people are on site, understanding young people and that. But the briefing, the verbal briefing is saying 63. So who can end on any confusion? Because if I just put my eyes on the document, 80 people are recruited, even then, 80 people are there. But the paper presentation is saying 63 have been recruited. Then can you just clarify that an alternate addition to that and tell us when the outstanding 17 going to be recruited? So that as a committee we are able to monitor the nomination of the person. Then also I had okay, the demo. He met with the mayor. That one is my question. Met with the mayor, he met with the speaker. We talk about the recruitment. But what I want to question you about is that Ngoma is a vast area. Yabamuti, you know, with Mr. Mabuza, we are here today with our assets. There's Ngoma the East, there's Ngoma the West, Ngoma the East, West to Mbuzini, Ngoma the West, Ishuna Koshati. For hectic friends, then you go to Komatipo. I think in that one you need to be very much cautious to make sure that you involve the one counselor. Because at the end of the day, you find a situation whereby only people at one time are being recruited if you involve two people in that process. Then it will create a problem because most of the people will not be waiting there. Either with the people from Komati East only, others are not in that. I think we'll appreciate the situation whereby in each and every ward, there's one youth who is part of that time. Then the other one says, when looking at the document, then the department will provide all necessary resources. Will. Meaning that you have not yet provided. Then the question that comes into my mind, what are these 63 people currently doing? If Nsayo, not able to have already provided, this is something that they are doing, they are making gasoline, they are picking up papers, whatever, they're still going to buy equipment. When are you going to buy those equipment? Then he said, somewhere, this is like what we said, you know, when working in the department, they must be very much careful. Somehow they don't want to be specific. They have said that some items are buying. Are under attention. Who are these actions? Who are the committee? Our role is to oversight, we have to monitor. Finally, we look what is going to happen when. We should be specific. So that at the end of the day, when we monitor, the government will be your account. You indicated to us that you're going to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on this particular thing. How far? But if you're saying some of the items, then we are doing them. Which are those items? And also, some are going to be completed by the 25th of February. You're supposed to know that so that when you go there, you just check that whether it has been completed on the date that has been given to us. Then the last one. The last one is that the awarding of the tender. Yes, that's saying that you're saying after the Kennedy massacre in March 2009, and I wanted the same news, but there's no specific again. When was this awarded? The last charity is only different from the amount of property and 174 vis-a-vis the 75. Then what has been done with that situation, not the current situation?
Captain, what I want to find out from the department, as we are speaking now, what is happening at Tetere Bomb now? Because we are talking about the history that was initiated in 2007, we were at Tetere Bomb. We know what is happening. So now we want to find out after we have left after we have done that oversight, what is happening now? Because we have to get what is now, what is happening. And another thing that I check here, your report talk about members of cooperative would be selected from the group based on the selection criteria of EPW, would be or will be, we have already separated selected to those members. And the other one is EPW will further ensure the legislation of cooperative Department of Trade. If we can find the time frame, if you tell us that you are going to ensure that they have been registered, when, in order to us to monitor this process. Thank you.
Mine is just a clarity on the canopy. By canopy, are you referring to those places where people are selling it? Or what are the canopies? Secondly, I would like to know the number of pilots that will be built, especially there where people are selling. And then the other one is the number of stores that will be built and the criteria for occupancy.
Oh, thanks, sir. Mine is just a few points on the extension of the greening and cleaning of the area. It's going to be extended to other border posts. the one we're talking about, the Lebomo, will be launched on the 1st. And then how soon can we expect the others to have the same... Because if we don't have the deadline, we're like, it can be 2015, 2020. And by when do you expect it to? And then I need to know the I need a clarity on this. Are we talking about here on page, status quo. We're talking about the data cabling. What's the difference between data cabling and data capturing? Because we spoke about the data capturers from the DPW, who would have, as the portfolio committee, would expect them to be distributed to different provinces so that they can assist the province to have the data capturers. Now we are talking about the data cabling. And okay, the one of the of the points you mentioned during our visit was the issue of the hawkers that would be relocated to, I don't know whether you but you didn't touch on that point, whether they've been moved from that area to another area about a kilometer away from there. whether was that captured in the meeting that you had with the local government?
Was the gap estimated million meant for the main border facility, site facility, to enter road and railway station? Was it meant for that? The other one is the 400 million that you are talking about. That how was the 100 million added to the 300 million to come to the about 400 million? Was it only meant for the main border facility that's 400 million? The project M, what is this project M? Is it a separation of traffic? Designing a line for lighter incorporation of the OSBP and the concurrent negotiations with the Mozambique land agreement? And on this land agreement with Mozambique, is there any money involved in it? You also spoke. You also speak about estimated cost of implementation. That is 150 million, excluding construction based escalation. What is this excluding construction based escalation? And the recommended bidder type. Who is recommended? Who is this recommended bidder type? That is 182. It has been asked. And also allocation confirmed for this financial year is 35 million. Which year do you which financial year are you referring to? Is it the 2009-10 or is it the 2010-2011? The internal stakeholders. The internal stakeholders, in my understanding, referring to that of health, staff, home affairs, I think the consultation that they are talking about, let me read the old sentence. In consideration of the imminent risk of not implementing the project because of financial constraints, we consulted widely with major internal stakeholders. Are you referring to those ones that I mentioned? And then on the joint decision order of September 2009, you speak about meetings, workshops. Can you clarify, was it a meeting or a workshop that can be able to, because here there's a scope between meeting and the workshop. Also, to speak about calling of tender and award 2010 contingency project. You say in October of which month, of which year, Department of Public Works advertised the tender of the project to address the upgrade of the border construction of bypass road. Can you mention the year date? Because here we are talking about January 2010. That's what I want to be clarified on. On the construction completion of the project, both contractors of the 2010 contingency project were and the contingency facilities have completed the project in terms of scope of tender and approved additions. Why was the additional work required? Was it not discussed at one of your DOCC meetings? It's now required. Was it not discussed from the beginning? On the items on the on and still on the additional work presented by Captain, the items above was under attention by the contractor. an instruction issued in the demarcation are due for completion by 25 February 2011. Well, while other external works await authorization by this committee, can you expand on this? You know, the committee, this very committee, did not say you must initiate a project. The committee raised the following issues that need to be attended to. And that was safety, abolition, hawkers, water, fencing, safety rank, taxes that are goods that are running there, keeping tanks for agriculture, accommodation. And that standard variable, because we did not say you must initiate a program. We raised the issue, those issues of cleanliness and all that. We did not say you must come up with a project. We only raise those issues to be attended to. at the last part, you said the launch project will be the 4-4 border of entry. And in April 2011, the service will expand. I'm sure. Are you saying the service will be expanded to other border posts because it will be the financial year? Is it why you're saying this? And lastly, I want to be honest and brutal. You say this report that you gave us this morning does not give one a clear information available to understand what the cost was. And why is it done in piecemeal? If you are talking about financial constraints, why were you not aware when you started the project? So that this project should be able to be completed and not be done in piecemeal. Because doing it in piecemeal at the end of the completion of this project, the estimated amount of 300 million will have doubled the actual amount. And I would have a problem on that. To say this was not properly planned. And it's not a sin. You know, I always tell people, other members, that if we have done something wrong, it's not a sin to say, and it's not a machoni to say, this was not properly planned, this was not properly planned. And it's not a sin to say, sorry, I wronged you, or we miscalculated, or we underestimated. Can we get answers on that? And first speaking, the meeting that you said there was a follow-up meeting. We want to see the minutes. We want to see people who were involved. We want to see the commitment that is there. Because there's a document here that talks about Jablan Mukari and Jasta Koneri. Jasta Koneri and Jablan Mukari, they might be internal officials of the Department of Public Works. And those stakeholders might not be involved in any of these activities that you're telling us about. Because the municipality in that meeting, the Kumasi municipality, you said as the department that on the issue of cleaning and on the issue of clearing the rubbish that is semi by language is not your responsibility, it is the responsibility of Kumasi. And now you are talking about buying trucks, buying bikes. And there's no involvement of Nkomati to say, what is Nkomati going to do? You understand? You are going to do that. Meanwhile, Nkomati said they are the ones who are removing waste. And they are now taking over from Nkomati. And in that meeting, you said that is the area of Nkomati municipality. Now you are coming up with a new vision to say you'll be doing that. There's no longer Nkomati will go to. And while we were in that meeting, we said Nkomati is busy cleaning the border. When we were in the meeting, the following day, we said Nkomati is busy. So we want to get this thing very clear, Osmano. Very clear. We should have the lines of operation to say, Nkomazi will be doing this, and Mpumalanga provincial will be doing this, you will be doing this, and at the end, we want to see what is. That is properly done. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. The colleagues will assist in answering the questions, especially getting into the details. Let me just overall summarize some subjects and overview. In general, we are the custodians of state immovable assets. In all the cases, or most cases, we use that immovable asset as a platform for various government departments to provide service delivery. This is the case here where we have land, and a number of client departments, they use that as border post to provide service. The process will start with the client telling us what their needs are.
I remember can we get that? You know, at the border post, we raise the issue of the land. Can we start there? We raise the issue of the land. And the answer that we got there was that the land is the state land, but the receipt is not known. And if I'm not mistaken, the receipt is not known to you, and you are going to investigate, and there's nothing that you can do or expand that. But if I'm quoting you correctly, Honorable Member, subject to correction. That's what you were told.
With your permission, can I get the colleagues to deal with that? I'm talking in general. When we talk about, I don't know about this, the colleagues will respond to that. When we talk about our responsibility as a custodian, it may either be state land or leased land. This case, if you are saying so, the colleagues must have investigated that, it may be a leased land. I'm just trying to demonstrate the process, how we start, where the provision of infrastructure to client departments are. It starts with us because either we own the land or the facility, or if we don't, we go and lease it. This may be the case in this situation. The client department tell us what they want. I said earlier on here that the client department will give you a long list. When you sit down and quote that long list, you will have an estimate. The next process, you go back to them to say, we have a 300 million for your requirement. Where is the budget? They have to give us a funding certificate before we can move. The response that will come, more often than not, the response will come, will say, instead of having 300 million, we have 175 million. What do? We've got a list. We know that in the broader program, when it's finished, by the time it's finished, with the budget available, we have to prioritize. This was the case here. We went back. Once we realized that here is the budget in terms of estimate, in terms of all those clients that we mentioned, in terms of their needs. Went back. The colleague will give you this statement, and that's time to sketch the scenario. Then we go back and prioritize. There are lots of things that inform prioritization. In this case, 2010 was one of those. So the process that you will see that will have started with them will have been informed by nothing else other than the client and the budget. And in this case, there was also 2010 involved. What happened then, because we have a bigger project, there were as we were starting to finish, and with years, clients were getting budget, but we were getting additional budget. And these are the projects that we mentioned that in addition to the original scope, we had to add those budgets because those additional requirements, because budgets were getting available. Our understanding, maybe the language, I don't know if it's misleading, but the issue on the
advice of the portfolio committee is to say, you raise a number of things. Some of those things may be done by the department, and some of those obviously would have to go to the client department. And again, colleagues in terms of details of what you raise, they can talk to that. When we as public work, in general, there may be specific case about this border post. When we provide, let's assume that we provide let's say we provide a building to a guy. It is our responsibility to make sure that building is clean, landscaping is done. If there's an opportunity for that, we do it in two ways. Either we do it in a budget that we call unplanned maintenance, where our officials, either with the support of the contractors, will go as the growth at break and all that, or we appoint a contractor for cleaning. We appoint a contractor for security, or as in the case with Parliament, we appoint a facility management that will oversee everything. So we've got different approaches depending on different issues. Under normal circumstances, my colleague in terms of, I don't have that detail, I must admit, under normal circumstances, if we give a facility to a department, we don't walk away. There may be few departments that we have, like that in magistrate court, that we have special arrangements with them. But under normal circumstances, that's our facility. We have to make sure that it's clean. We have to make sure that it looks good, the facade of the building and outside. We have to make sure that happens. And we do it in a number of approaches. In this case, the approach that the department thought would be sustainable, but not only sustainable, to contribute to job creation, was with the local municipality and participation. Maybe we can talk about how extensive the consultation has been and needs to be going forward. But with the support of local people, there was an agreement that the Department of Public Works must provide this particular service, because it's not only as you look at this project, although we're intervening because of the advice from the portfolio committee, as this project, we're looking broader than Limomo. It's not so much about, but it's not primarily about providing the service. It's primarily about creating jobs. And the job that we create with the process is going to be a trust mark. I think it's something that can make an intervention for a youth that is not employed. But we are saying we want to move it with them getting experience and them getting the training that Stanley was talking about. If you have Stanley raised the issue that maybe, you know, we know the failure rate of SMEs and also the cooperatives. This one is not going to be different, but we are doing everything that is possible to support the process. If you are properly trained, you are properly constituted, at least it gives you a head start to have a 3-year contract. So what I'm saying is that we responded that it was not about a matter of only providing service. It was a matter about saying, as Department of Public Works, when we report to the minister and the minister report to the president, over and above the contribution that EPWP is doing by coordinating, in terms of our own business, we need to do business differently. And this is one of the projects that we saw could be easy to do immediately. And as I was saying, we not only intend to do it in length, port of entry, but also we intend to look at all our business. We've got physical infrastructure that is there all the time. As the Department of Public Works, we could be able to have a number of these co-ops or, you know, SMEs that are actually providing this service rather than getting established consultants or contractors. So the colleagues will look at the the questions in detail, and especially around the budget and the date. If you have them, we need just to note where we don't have the information we
member, just to provide some of the questions that they asked. The question was on what type of architect are we talking about at the board? I'm not a member. You are correct, we're concerned. We're talking about the L2 architect. And the idea is that this person will then provide mentorship to the young people in the youth corps, and they're able to accumulate more competencies, so then they can actually sustain those youth corps without the state. What we are cautious about also, honorable members, is to not to create a situation wherein these people therefore depend on the state, but want to make sure that they themselves are able to sustain themselves, so that we don't create a kind of a welfare state, but more of a developmental state. With regards to the question that you asked, honorable member, on the figure, if you look at the slide that deals with the funding required was 172, and you see that the funding that was then confirmed was 75 million, which means there was an extra money that you required to have. Because there was no confirmation from the National Treasury in terms of additional allocation from the baseline, we then had to reprioritize certain projects from the digital low capital project so as to then ensure that we have money to cover this 172. This is one of the reasons why we went to the BISH committee on the basis of the extra requests that were given to us by staff and staff in terms of toilets and so forth. We should then go back to the BISH committee and say there are these additional requests. Before we proceed, we want to make sure that one, funding is there, permission is there for film day. So we can confirm with the honorable member that on the basis of the requests that were made by staff and also the honorable member during their visit, in the reprioritization process, we're able to then find money in the digital capital, which we then use for purposes of resolving the extra or additional requests. The matter of the that it is vast, we take that. It's only that in terms of protocol and the instruction given, was that we have to engage with the municipality, which is what we did. But we do take that view that the area is too vast, and always it is important that we are cautious in our optimism that the recruitment strategy should take into consideration the diversity of the group. So we do take that point, honorable member. On the matter of the goods and services, that it is a reward structure, I confirm to you, honorable chairperson, that as a matter of fact, the department has issued what is called the procurement instruction. The procurement instruction is a legal document which confirms that there is money available to procure services or appoint a contractor to perform a particular responsibility. So the procurement instruction has been issued in terms of the procurement of the services, goods and services, cleaning services for the Lebombo border. So it was issued last week. As I'm talking to you today, the National Deed Adjudication Committee is sitting at the head of it to then process the procurement of those goods and services. If you look at how we plan the sequencing of the event, the project is supposed to start on the 1st of March. So we want to then make sure that by the time the project starts on the 1st of March, all this equipment are actually procured. So PI has been issued, these goods and services will be procured. There is no way that these young people will, by the 1st of March, not have this cleaning material and so forth and so forth. The question on where the canopy, honorable member, is the first immovable structure that you see before you go to the pedestrian facility. That's where the SAPS are. That is the canopy. And if you look at the initial needs assessment that was filed off by the client, which the COO has actually provided, excluded the toilets, and that was signed off by the client. But after the additional request, we will be putting a toilet facility there for staff. So that we can confirm. And this is part of an item that will request the BID committee for approval. With regards to the of course, in terms of the honorable members will know this, that in terms of the tender process, the tender that we're talking about financial year 09-10, because the pressure was to make sure that by the time the World Cup commences, we have dealt with the three entrances in terms of the pedestrian facility, in terms of the light vehicles, and in terms of the heavy vehicles. So the financial year that we're talking about is financial year 09-10. The issue of the tesseract, honorable members will remember that in terms of the constitution, the function of tesseract is the responsibility of local sphere of government in South Africa. And this is a matter that was this is an impression was created upon both in the province and the local municipality. But what is also important when dealing with this thing is that you must also involve the Department of Transport. Because unless the Department of Transport also is on board, you are likely to have a problem. You should also involve the Department of a local government in traditional affairs. Because the local CA is one CA whose custodianship is actually managed by the Department of Local Government and Traditional Affairs. So the consultation would like to begin to not only involve, important as it is, the local municipality, but we must also deal with other stakeholders which are critical for purposes of delivering within the sector. How soon should we expect the rollout of the horticultural and greening of the border post? We're saying in terms of our plan, honorable members, we're starting at Libombo on the 1st of March. The second border post that we're going to be dealing with is the Kolela border post between South Africa and Swaziland. This is our second project that we'd like to deal with. So we will be going to the municipality where the Kolela border post is to do the same thing, engage with them, recruit these people, orientate them, and ensure that the people that you employ are from local. You appoint an architectural landscaper who will then be used for purposes of acquiring or providing mentorship for these young people. Project N, it refers to the civil works of the project, it refers to minor renovation, it refers to processing facilities, it refers to the pedestrian facility, it refers to the heavy entrances, and it also refers to the light behind. Let me just also take this opportunity, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, to explain why sometimes in the construction industry costs escalate, and unless you take some of the very tough decisions, your construction escalation costs will actually increase. If you deal with construction in access for a client department, and the client department actually sign off what we call the risk assessment, we always insist as public works that let's stick to that. The reason why we've got to stick to the signed risk assessment is because once a risk assessment has been signed, we would have quantified them, would have then confirmed the budget with regard to those quantified risk assessments, would have then agreed on the project execution. The problem is that once you, during construction, have other additional assessments by the client or additional requests by the client, the consequence of that is then increases the project execution plan, it then increases the cost escalation of the project to the extent that by the time you started the project and by the time you conclude the project, the cost estimate would have been different. So this is the reason that we always request that once the client department have actually sealed signed off the need assessment plan, let's stick to that so as to avoid the project escalating in terms of cost and so forth. Those are the questions that I wanted to provide.
Before Stanley talks about the criteria for appointment, and maybe we can get over to talk about the land ownership situation in the world.
Thank you. Good morning, honorable members, the issue of land ownership in the Congo has got two facets. One is that the state owns the land where the Department of Transport had a right user right to develop a clearing facility for trucks, and then they continue to enter into an agreement with the private people on the long term. That's where currently the trucks are here. In the case that we visited that day, the other land is the land around the border post, which is in terms of our of the mandate, the Department of Public Works has a sole responsibility to deliver service around the third part of the land is the land where the temporary taxi land is moving where it was previously, by example, we are creating the cooperative municipality and the taxi operator that they would move out of the security area of the border post and then occupy that field temporarily because the taxi association together with the municipality, they have agreed of a permanent place around the combative board where that taxi train would be moved to. And then the municipality will be funding the whole development. So, in terms of the land, we can confirm that the land where the taxi rank is owned by the department. The other question which was raised was the toilet facility for the taxi rank and the commuters. The existing toilet which is within the security area was developed by the municipality, and currently the users of the taxi rank, they still have access to the existing toilet facility. While the permanent movement from the area where it is to the new area, then the toilet facility will be demolished. That's the summary in terms of the land ownership.
Information that is not the need of the committee. We oversight this.
because our life is getting information, and we're not getting any information. We're still not getting it. Those people saying words and look figures and all that. Then about that land issue, according to the report that you have seen, the case, which is that that is public land leased by a private owner for 10 rand per year, for a 99-year lease. Now, we need to get more information. Why? Who is this person that we don't know? Because you said that there are some project development in Italy, we don't know, on the own land, which is used for 10 rand a year. We need to give us the information. It is our right to get the information. Who is this private? Who is this person that does not know? We need to know that. How did he get within this government for 99 and he's telling you more? For what is he telling you? So, okay, he was here, you know. We need that information, and we're not getting that information. And that is the problem that we have to have is that you do not give us the proper information. We're not trying to assist you. We are not trying to assist you, but give us the proper information. We talk about toilets there. Are these toilets the toilets that we're talking about when we're pursuing the flight or not? Which
credit
are we talking about? Thank you,
Chairman. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And another issue. On page 3 of this letter, the work project, and it is not stated as to whether how much was spent on this one, because you say it was a minor job, and a minor job, there is money involved in that. We would want to know as to how much was involved in this renovation. And another issue, Chair, you spoke about, you mentioned trucks that were bought by, are supposed to be bought or were bought by the department for the former municipality. As far as we know, the municipalities are for their budget to use when they are buying a vehicle. How come can the department buy truck for refuse for the municipality, as well as the municipality has got its funds?
No, Chair, one will just request that maybe in future, I think my colleague has covered me around the issue of the information that will make us follow what is going on. Really, it is not giving us, because it comes with a certain requirement budget. But now the project is complete, except with those additional work that has been added. We're supposed to be given to say when you start it was like this and that. But Chair, my request is that maybe the department, when they are giving us the information, we understand, because they explained that they depend on the client to say what are their needs. But to me, it's not enough, that one, because we are professional as a department. Like an example that was made by Mr. Mabuza to say that structure that is there, there were no ablution facilities. But obvious, you know that people cannot stay where such a thing. You cannot stay without ablution facilities. It's a well-known. And I think as professionals in our field, in particular DPW, have to also advise the departments accordingly. You can't say you only wait for them, but you are professionals in your field. And then later on, because you know the budget really, we want to know at the end how much really. Because as the chair was correctly indicating, it will be more expensive if we do work bit by bit. I think it will be proper, Chair, that maybe in future, like people that have not been part of the department, if we are given an information, it's good, we are given a background, but we are told about the budget. We are being told how much has been spent. We are told who are those people that are doing well. I think my colleagues have covered me partly on those information to say that we need more information, really, you know. To me, the information is, yes, we do have information, but I can't be confident and go out and say I know what is going on in the department as a person that is doing an oversight, Chair.
Thanks, Professor. I'm covered on the follow-up question about the land ownership, because really, it was very specific about who owns that land. And then my question was not answered on the difference between the data cabling and the data capturing. What's the difference? And lastly, about the EPWT, I think the point about the money spent by the government on the project, really, I think we have been emphasizing that point as to how many people were trained, how many SMMEs were involved in the project. Unless we know that, and then how many were promoted from which level to which level. Because if we don't do it, the private sector is really not prepared to do it. So that's the point we've been trying to emphasize on the EPWT point. I thought Mr. Dan would be specific on that project.
Honorable colleague, followed by Honorable Mbuni and Honorable Mbuni.
Chair, I think members have covered me on land ownership, because we have to emphasize that each of land, because we must know who's owning this. We cannot just say transport and private, but we must know exactly who's owning this land. And another chair, what I want to know, as we are sitting here, what is happening in the land? What is happening? Because there is no answer on that.
I remember when we reported the Libombo, we requested a report around the land there. I thought today we'd get that report as to what is happening. We don't expect to give another instruction or event to go and investigate. We must get a report as to what is happening in the land. Second to that, Chair, you know, I'm a slow learner, you forgive me for that. I was carefully listening, trying to, you know, connect my little knowledge with what is being presented. I get sometimes confused to understand that the science department raises these needs, and the department says no. Well, sign off that this is what you want. And we go out and get funding for it. Oh, there is already funding for it. And then you must now put the project on tender. And now in a process, the tender is being, the project is now readjusted because of the size of the money we have. And now, who determines that these are priorities, these are not priorities? Who must say, I want this first, I don't want this first? Because if the science department says, having a toilet next to where these police officers are, it's important because the police officer is able to go quickly to the toilet and come back and continue to do their work. Now, the department decides, no, you don't need the toilet because it's not important. You'll get it a little later, maybe the next financial year. Now, that's my little question. You see, who arrives at the decision that says, you'll not get this big building, you'll get this big building because we know what you want? You know? Further than that, is the... I can hear the very beautiful words used by the department. They say that we are creating jobs for in the Bombo, cost to use and whatever. If this was not identified by our visit to say that it is an area that needs an attention, the creation of jobs would have been in the mind of the department, or we assisted by going there. Basically, what I'm saying is that you have not a plan of creating job opportunity in the bomb. But suddenly, because here we are identifying, you know, this snack, why NASA, the Energy Department, in the IFIDALUP format, youth cooperative format. You are now identified. No, we want to take a job. We want also to make our minister to give a good report to the president and so on and so on. To me, it's a very poor planning. I would choose that it's a very poor planning because, well, I'm not an academic in terms of understanding the planning. I'm saying that if you were to create a job opportunity, it shouldn't have come this way it came. You must have a planning, Your Worship, some time ago, to say that, yes, we have identified this need in the Bombo, therefore, this will actually enable us to create job opportunities. We are going to involve youth, the selection criteria, how do you spread all these requirements in terms of the IFIDALUP and so on. Now, here we are, suddenly, the portfolio committee will visit Bombo. I'm sorry, Chair, but re-emphasizing, not repeating. Thank you.
My query was actually based on the number of public pilots. And I don't think that was answered properly on that. And the number of stalls for the hawkers. And then the plan in which the hawkers will be able to occupy the stalls. I saw a huge number of hawkers there, and I think it would be proper if they have a plan for occupation. Across my question,
I needed an explanation on the concurrent negotiation process that we on land agreement, and that was not responded to. Secondly, I also underestimate cost of implementation. I said, what is the meaning of excluding construction based on escalation? I don't know whether it was responded to. Before responding, and we need to close on this after responding, I'll still emphasize this report. And at the beginning of the year, I spoke about integrity, and I'll repeat that as a person, as a human being, and for the good of the country, and for the good of all of us, and I even said, all of us here, we are here on service delivery. That is our first principle. Say, can you be open? And can you give us what you want to hear? And in your response, can you not start from there, going around, give us sort of history? We don't need that history. We need what we requested to hear. And that's what we want. Development that is taking place there. Whether things are changing or not, that's what we are interested in, and also accountability of the funds that were allocated here. The escalation, we know, but if there was a proper planning and communication with the stakeholders that are there, the Social Department, this wouldn't be happening. It's because you take a decision, you took a decision, Tina, we are public works, our role is to build and do this, and we are not going to be bothered. And that's where the problem is. I mean, in each and every of, we're all of us doing houses here. You dig, foundation. And after digging them up, you consult, and they will say to you, put stuff there for what is
concrete.
No, before concrete. Before end. And you will do that. Thereafter, pest control. They will tell you foundation level, they will tell you to leave the foundation in our foundation for two weeks for it to adjust the walls, you will build the walls and the walls will settle, and then from there you will put the roof will settle, all those stages.
pure consent. And we still are not in this any consultation. So if there was consultation, this other misunderstanding between departments wouldn't be there. If you were engaging staff from the beginning and start from the beginning, these issues wouldn't be there. And there's no way that we can, you know, there's no way that a person in that oversight can stand up that fast and fast people were saying, talking there. They wouldn't stand up and talk. Meanwhile, what we're talking about was not the truth. You know, as a belief, be honest and be open to us. Thank you. You can now respond so that we move to the next item. But we agreed in the last meeting that every month we'll have to have a report on this border post. All of them month to say the image at the border post.
Thank you, sir. Colleagues, we'll pass this report where these are actual plans where the colleagues that was there signed off.
But why should we dig for that? Why don't you give us from the start?
Because at the time of going to the meeting, unfortunately, we did not know that they are going to dispute that we're working together. Then it came to our attention, went back to look for reports so that we can provide them with you. When we went there, like we did with the public works department, provincial department, we went there knowing that we've worked, for instance, on Giama. We've worked with public works. I mean, with public works projects, we did not expect a disagreement in terms of what has been done. There was no agreement. Unfortunately, with the colleagues from SAS, although we have the document, we did not bring them because we never anticipated that they will dispute what has happened. We apologize for that. As government department, we should not put the portfolio committee in that situation. That's the purpose for the meeting. Unfortunately, it happened. We are trying to address it, and not only in terms of the documents, but as going forward. They were in the meeting. They signed off there. I mean, the colleagues will answer to some of the questions. But just to repeat on the or add on the issue of client needs. The client needs, the conferences, that was the case with all the things that need to be done. When we see budget escalation or increases in budget, it would be that when they came in, they wanted this building here and something else here, something else here. It's not the answer. If we agree, for instance, that we are going to build parliament precinct, usually the escalation that leads to millions is not because of the original plan. It would be either there's a drastic change in the plan to build parliament or there are additions to parliament. Those are the kinds of changes that you see, and you see a lot of budget increases. In this case, it's very specific. We have to prioritize those budgets and remove some. And please, maybe I'm not putting it right. We don't remove. We go back to clients. You have given us the needs. We do the estimation. We go back to them to confirm the budget. If they confirm less than, let's say that the project is 150 million, and after they've given us the name, we do the estimation. We go back to them to say, this project, in terms of your needs, that we want a funding certificate. This funding certificate should match the requirement. And then when they say, no, we've only got 50, we say to them, go back and prioritize, because that's the cost of what you wanted. So in public works, you would never decide for a client that, no, this one is not right now because you don't have a budget. All that we say to clients is that you wanted this, this is the cost of this. Give us the funding. If you don't have all the funding, give us your priorities in terms of those funding. So we would not, as public works, decide that we you will prioritize. We don't know what their needs are. much as we get to understand their business, but in terms of their priorities, we cannot do that as part of
it. Actually, it's a common thing.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a common thing. You need not follow the
project. I'm not talking about the colleagues will talk about it. I'm talking about the process. If you wanted five buildings or five police stations as staff, we are going to cost them, and we say to you, you've got this budget, this is the cost for all the budget programs. The issue of a very specific issue of the toilet, I'm sure the colleagues will address that. The second one is that, that's a response to the issue that was raised by honorable member in terms of the project for cost in Lubombo. We've got a number of projects that we didn't have an opportunity to present to the portfolio committee. A number of job creation projects that will include the issue, I'm sure the minister has mentioned the issue of bridges, the issue of potholes, the issue of this project. I mentioned earlier on that even though we were responding to the portfolio, this is to us, it's broader, it's part of a package of a number of job creation projects. In actual fact, not only are we identifying those special projects, we are saying, Manda will tell you as DDG project, on each one, even our operations unit or implementing unit, that if you have a construction budget, these are the number of we estimate that to say on each and every 1 million of your budget, give or whatever number Manda will give you, give us the number of jobs. So overall, in terms of the public works budget, construction budget, you say you must give us the number of jobs based on the construction budget. We've got special interventions, one of which is this one. We prioritize this in terms of even starting before the end of the financial year because the honorable members raised it.
Can we get
Thanks, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Let me deliver the question on concurrent negotiations with Mozambique. In terms of the memorandum of understanding which was signed by then President, South Africa President Biden, President De Buzo, the memorandum of understanding for the construction of the one stop water port, in order for it to have any legal effect, permitting Department of Public Works to financially invest in Mozambique on capital infrastructure, it requires such to be ratified by the National Assembly. This is what the MOD says, which means if the National Assembly of South African Parliament has not yet ratified that memorandum of understanding, we cannot by law and in terms of PSMA invest something in Mozambique. Now, the custodianship for the ratification of that MOU lies with SARS. So therefore, SARS will then have to take those, what is called annexures of the MOU through to the Portfolio Committee on Finance, and the Portfolio Committee on Finance in Parliament will then have to submit that for ratification in the National Assembly. To the extent that that process has not happened, Department of Public Works and any other department for that matter, as far as the one stop water port is concerned, can't invest a cent in Mozambique. So that is why the matter of concurrent negotiations, Honorable Chairperson, deals with that specific issue. On the question of land, Honorable Member is correct. Just to provide a concrete fact around this thing, the Department of Public Works entered into a lease agreement with Sandra and agents of the Department of Transport for the land, Honorable Chairperson, where we were in terms of the clearing of the customs, where they kept the alcohol and so on. Department of Public Works entered into a lease agreement with Sandland with respect to that. Subsequent to that, Sandland entered into a sub-lease agreement with an organization that is called Micromatic. Right. Sandra, we entered into an agreement because Sandra said as an agency would like to use the property for purposes of border-related activities. Now, Sandra then entered into a sub-lease agreement with this organization called Micromatic. This is a point, Honorable Chairperson, you remember, and Public Works, we immediately raised it with you to say there is this matter of Sandral having entered into a service agreement with another entity. The problem that we have is that it does appear that this entity now generates revenue for things that it has nothing to do with border related activities. These are concrete facts that was uncovered in the Department of Public Works. So therefore it stands to reason that as Public Works will then have to say to the Department of Transport, look, we've entered into agreement with Sandra. Now Sandra enters into a service agreement, this is your entity. Department of Transport will then have to come to us and say, what is it that you are going to do to call order into Sandra? Especially provide accountability both to this committee and to the portfolio committee on Transnet. Why did they enter into sub-lease agreement with Micromatic, and to what extent is that sub-lease agreement in terms of content respond to the principal memorandum of focus? Thank you.
Just follow up on the same issue.
Yes, Chair. I want to check around the issue of the contract, the lease between department and Sandra. Does it allow that they can subcontract? What are the clauses there, legally speaking? If we can be advised on that one, because the understanding is that if they had specific tasks that they want to perform in that particular structure, I don't think that it was open for subcontracting and so on and so forth. Maybe if it can be checked legally and the content of the contract. Okay.
Honorable Chairperson, remember as we said both at the board and today, that the issue of the source for the hawkers then suffered and suffered. In terms of functionality of the constitution, is the responsibility of local municipalities. And we've impressed upon the commerce municipality to, in partnership with the province and the Department of Transport, to actually carry out that responsibility. If you look at the border where the pedestrian facilities are, the provision is made about wishing facilities both for the staff who are working for all the kind of departments there and also for the general public. That is provided. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Secretary. I think the issue.
I thought maybe would roughly
access the thing that will come out of. Yeah, that's. And secondly, I may be wrong, but it's my view that I think some of the questions that you ask, they keep evading, and you know. But I think maybe to avoid that, we don't have to give them a lot of questions. Maybe two, three people must ask the question, and then they respond. Because now, each time we can't raise two questions. I mean, questions over the same thing, and then still there are nothing came out of Mr. Rabutabu's questions, and out of my own questions, nothing really came out. I'm not criticizing you, person, but I'm just airing my view that each time you give them 10 questions and then they answer 3, you come back over the same question, you give them 8 questions, they answer 2. And then they keep ducking and diving. I think it needs to.
And then the result of that, man, as they are living now here, they are going to do their own post-mortem of what we are saying.
Mm-hmm.
And come out of here.
Remember,
truly
speaking, there's no truth in the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
This business time, we are hearing at the Department of Public Works, least learn from Department of Trust. Mm. If you say every time they make a presentation, you hear something new. And I don't know how I'm going to deal with this problem. Something did not go right there.
Mm.
We need to be honest. Something went wrong at the bottom. Especially on Sunday. The escalation of some prayer. You know, once you see a round figure, it says something.
Mm.
Once in all finances, you see round figures of 000, you must know that it is a problem. But it escalated from 300 million to 400 million. These are round figures.
Mm.
You know, even with statistics, if they give you round figures, you must know that it is a problem.
And it's very funny. They say their message are a stakeholder.
Mm-hmm.
When you ask him a question, he still refers to the municipality.
Yes.
He doesn't give you the answer.
Yes.
It's very funny.
When is
the
statistic?
In prison. Kimberley prison.
So, I think what we must do, let us have a traffic that you are right. Let us be proactive to the court. Let us also be traffic. How many proofs they put your name to see? That's it. So that we know that this year there are so many proofs. And more or less the day of the proofs. And then we request for those proofs. And we must assign the proofs for which is very important. How many people care for the project? That's what they tell you. How many people care for the project? And how many prospectors are developing the project? Skills and all that. That's the only manner which you can be so accessible that we must know from who must trace the project from the beginning.
Account on this particular information, but I think really I agree, Chair, to say that, as you summarized it, to say that let them give us the information on the project for the 2010-2011, to say these were the projects budgeted for so much, these we have implemented, these are outstanding, what are the challenges,
and then come to the 2011 solar. I think it could give us the insight going forward.
Okay, my take on also on the same issue. That was the main question as to who owns that land.
Yeah.
And I mean, if Manda had such information, how could he give that to be answered by someone who, I mean, you could see that he was grappling with the issues. He doesn't know who he only. I don't know if he had all those facts. He's telling us that now. He told you that when you were walking. I mean, no. I know good people. No. Yes. But we need answers.
Can we be first one to get a list of all the projects? Then the and how much were they budgeted for? Because I'm told, I got it from the corridor, that today as we are talking, there's a contingency of soldiers in the air that are on their way to Eastern Cape to go and do the project. We have information on that, but we get it from the corridor. They are on their way as they are talking. We don't know how many of them, how many bricks are they are going to attend to. We'll get it from, So we need that list. That they must give us all this information.
And the same transfer. Yeah, I mean,
just to add on that. You know, I think these bridges are built as a result of a disaster, you know, rainfall that happened. And it did not happen only in the eastern system. I mean, a lot of areas were affected by that. And you ask yourself in terms of priorities and in stuff, you know, they should actually have spread their wings, you know, even to areas that were affected. I mean, you are not in Kent and other areas.
Chair, I was just thinking that if we can request our member from Mpumalanga to go and oversight the bomb. Because if we can check, they don't want to tell us what is happening in Mpumalanga.
Can we move to
some
The document is distributed. The reason there were two documents is because it wasn't clear that I would receive information to actually do an analysis of the same information address. That's one of the reasons why the longer document is called a draft, because there are several areas that have missing information. The main area that we're talking about in terms of the state of the nation is there are several issues that reoccur. I indicated that from 2007, for example, State of the Nation address, most of the issues that are mentioned are repeated year on year. Obviously, the one that would be repeated is the expanded public works program, but the one, for example, in terms of creating jobs for youth, at that time, the project that was always mentioned was the National Youth Service. We not really managed to receive adequate information on progress on the National Youth Service. I think the only time we did, for example, was when we were on oversight in the Eastern Cape, I think it was, a corner will just confirm, where the department, the provincial department of public works, for example, at that time, indicated that they had recruited something like 100 young people for the National Youth Service, and that they would teach them, that they received mentoring, and that the program continued. So, for example, in the latest State of the Nation address, there are, if I've got it all right, I think 16 points that were raised. Some of them are actually points that actually work together, that don't go together as one thing. But always the thing that comes back, of course, is the infrastructure development program. Again, this year, the issue, for example, that was mentioned in this investment, which started out at 784 billion and then was increased in 2010 to 846 billion. The main reason for this large infrastructure program was that it was mentioned it was attempting to shield the country from the financial crisis and also from the first recession that the country has gone into since 1992. So what I looked at was what statistics South Africa was saying, for example, just in terms of formal work, net losses of people losing their jobs. And they were saying, for example, that there is this, in the certain areas, which you would have thought if this 846 billion program was properly working, you wouldn't have losses, for example, in the construction area of 102,000, or in manufacturing, for that matter, 38,000. I looked at some newspaper reports, because most of this, and I think you'll see there are discrepancies, for example, in terms of information received. The information comes from the Department of Public Works, from the different responses that were received after the State of the Nation address, and also from media reports. So one of the things that I looked at, for example, just in terms of this, the infrastructure development program, was that this the consulting engineers of South Africa, for example, were saying that the delivery processes of government are not adequate. They actually hold up processes of projects that need to be initiated. And they were saying that actually there's a lack of technical competence within government that actually holds up jobs, sorry, projects. And then I looked at, just in response to that, I looked at the Department of Public Works' annual report. So on page 4, for example, there's just a table provided of employment where they actually talk about the critical occupations that they have and the vacancy rate for these. I was saying that, for example, they said they have 646 critical positions, which include architects, civil engineers, quantity surveyors, and then senior managers. But when you look at the vacancy, they have a vacancy of these critical occupations of 179 people. And of these, they have 113 engineers that they that are vacant, and also 40 under the senior managers. So this is like a crucial area that needs to be investigated, especially if we remember that in the State of the Nation address, for example, mention is made that all funded posts, vacant funded posts, must be filled within 6 months. Although when I looked at the President's response, he indicated 3 months. So, but he was saying that if those posts are vacant, then they must be filled within 3 months instead of the required 6 months. The next one that I'm looking at is the financing of job creation initiatives. This amount of 9 billion that's been set aside for this, it is unclear how this amount will actually be used. But some of the information that was made available is related to the state-owned enterprise. Mention was made, for example, that before these state-owned enterprises were either privatized or they became corporations, they were actually, for a large part, responsible for training of art events, etc. That was where the bulk of the training actually happened. But with them becoming privatized or corporations, the first cut in terms of where they're looking for profit, where they to make profit, was training. So the latest suggestion has been that these state-owned enterprises return to this program of job creation as well as training.
training. And they're indicating, for example, that ESCOM will be undertaking child care and for youth. They're mentioning 5,000, then they mention 10,000. In the report also it was mentioned that the initial training that was provided by ESCOM was something like just over 4,000 in the previous year. The one where I was saying there might be a discrepancy is this area where they're talking about the building of bridges. Because the minister's report says that they will build 10 each, one in the Eastern Cape, Limpopo and Mpumalanga, and Northwest, and it will cost about 30 million. But in the previous, on the previous page, for example, at the bottom there, it says that the Department of Public Works, in collaboration with the Department of Defense and Military Veterans, is going to be forming part of this. And that they've already completed community bridges in the Eastern Cape. And then the plan is underway to build an additional 30. So we actually need to just confirm then, have these bridges been built in the Eastern Cape, are they still to be built, and were they, for example, the 10 mentioned here by the minister. Information was quite sparse on the latest information available on the expanded public works program. From the briefings again, mention is made that it was 750,000 job opportunities since the program was begun or launched in April 2009. It is indicated that the program is supposed to create 4.5 million work opportunities by 2014. And this is in response to the 2015 Millennium Development Goal, which talks to halving poverty and unemployment by that time, which is Millennium Development Goal 1. So a report then gives us, which says that the two phases to date have created 2.4 million job opportunities since 2004. So it's phase one and the current part of phase two. One of the things about phase two, for example, is that they've indicated that they want people to actually have 100 days of work per person. The department is indicating that this is the maximum amount of time that they're aspiring to. So it starts at a certain number and the 100 is supposed to be what they must reach. A review currently by the South African Institute of Race Relations was indicating that generally the work opportunities in the first year was 50 days and then it averages out to 46 days per person work day. So just in terms of public work, we have to also clarify from them the amount of how are they, if they're struggling to reach their 100 days of work per person, days of work, how are they going to increase the number so that they actually do reach the required target that they set. In addition to this is, of course, the Department of Public Works' rollout of on potholes, the 150 million grant program. They've indicated that they will have a hotline, a pothole hotline, as well as road engineers and superintendents to actually assess the conditions of the road on a daily basis. This was one of the briefings given by the Minister of Transport. The only sort of issue is the practicality involved in terms of this. How are these, for example, these road engineers and superintendents, is there a budget for them to actually go off and look at these roads? And does it mean that the hotline that has that will be implemented, that will not be enough to actually give
the required information necessary to say where these potholes are, to have them fixed, and to assure that the work is actually properly done. Mention is also made in terms of this 300 labor intensive building project to be undertaken in terms of schools and unsafe structures. Now, the mud schools and unsafe structures, if I've got it correct, let me just look at my notes again, was one of the priorities that was mentioned as early as 2007, for example. And the number of unsafe structures was, I think, put at something like 8,000 at the time. So we probably then need a report, an updated report, because we received one from the Independent Development Trust, which indicated the amount of schools that they initially had rebuilt. And it was something like, it was very few. So we'd need an updated report to see at currently how many of, for example, those 8,000 unsafe structures in my school have actually been reviewed, has it been reviewed to date. In terms of youth development, I mentioned earlier that the National Youth Service has been the one, has been the program that was mentioned as early as 2007, State of the Nation Address. Now we have the National Rural Youth Services Corps, where at present it's uncertain if this is a different program or if it's the National Youth Service with another name. So that we'll have to actually get clarity on, especially if they're saying that they will recruit 7,000 rural youth. If I've got the numbers correct for the National Youth Service, it was something like 10,000. But I am just looking at 2007 to make sure about that. The issue of addressing corruption and maladministration, that has been a concern as early back, I think, as 2005. It was not necessarily mentioned in the State of the Nation Address, but public services and administration was tasked, for example, with creating guidelines and looking at this area. Last year, of course, this was mentioned as a priority. The report that I just have put together here is in relation to the special investigation unit task given by the President in last year, which basically looked at the following government departments, and public works forms part of it. It's the Department of Industry. It's health and housing, human settlement, arts and culture, education in the Eastern Cape, the National Department of Public Works, as well as the South African Social Security Agency and the South African Police Service. Now, the Special Investigations Unit was tasked just in terms of public works to look at a few issues listed here. For example, unlawful, irregular, or unapproved acquisition, transaction measures or practices having a bearing upon the state's property. It's also to do with the loss of money and unlawful and improper conduct by persons who have caused or may cause serious harm to the interests of the of public or any category thereof. What is of interest in terms of this investigation, of course, is the length of time that they, or the period that has been suggested, 1 October 2003 to July 2010. Now, for example, that last category that I mentioned in terms of persons and officials within the department, if they have actually perpetrated acts of corruption or misconduct, how will, for example, the Special Investigation Unit be able to get hold of these people if they are persons involved who, for example, have resigned from the department, have been dismissed, in other areas. I'm just wondering, in terms of the practicality of that, that's one of the reasons the conclusion is that this investigation will probably take a couple of years, most likely. Hopefully, we hope that it won't, but just in terms of the scope of the investigation required. The other area that Public Works mentioned is the Ria Patala initiative, which is also mentioned in the State of the Nation address. Now, the crucial part of the of this is the requirement by the CFMA that people must be paid within 30 days of receiving the invoice. And in many instances, when the portfolio committee, for example, has gone on oversight, one of the first or one of the issues that usually raised is that these small contractors are not paid within the stipulated time. So Public Works, when they presented to the portfolio committee at the end of last year, indicated that they've actually managed to improve their payment of these invoices within the required time, and that they've actually got a program to look at the backlog. So that would be one of the areas that the portfolio committee would need to report on. The review of the procurement system, the entire procurement system, is going to be an issue that will probably take also a lot of time, because this has also been, this is an area that was mentioned in last year's State of the Nation address. And one of the things, just in terms of the Department of Public Works, is that the auditor team will qualify the department. It received a qualified auditor opinion in 2019 due to, example, not following proper procurement process for all procurement, which was part of the qualified opinion. I did mention earlier the filling of all vacant posts, and I just use an example here. For example, with the Department of Public Works' own vacant position in 2009-10 annual report, they indicated that they had 1,133 vacant positions. The department over the years has always had this large vacancy. When we look back to any year, it's either 900, 1,000, it never goes below this number from, you could say, 2006. So this has always been a serious problem within the department, the filling of their vacant posts, and it will be of interest to see how they actually manage to respond to this directive that they must fill their vacant posts within 6 months. One of the things that I did do as well is just to indicate on page 9 where the number of posts are that need to be filled. And the provision of land and accommodation, which is program 2, and it's actually the main program of the department under which, for example, the infrastructure development board has got 855 vacancies. I added a section which we always add when we look at the State of the Nation address. We just look at implications for Parliament for 2011. And there are a few suggested areas that Parliament, for example, or the portfolio committee needs to receive reports on. And they are what I've mentioned before, the infrastructure development program, Operation Riyadh, the procurement system. The Department of Performance and Monitoring and Evaluation, what has the progress been made by the department in filling all their funded vacant positions? The effective implementation of these programs aimed at youth development, especially when they're saying there'll be entrepreneurship, proper coordination of this program needs to be looked at, especially in rural areas, because that always seems to be an area where monitoring and evaluation is not done optimally. Then, of course, the phase 2 of the Expanded Public Works Program, especially the designated target for youth, women and people with disabilities. Just in terms of people with disabilities, the 2% target does not appear to be reached. It wasn't reached for phase one, and just the current progress that's made for 2000, for the second phase, is also not being reached. So this is the progress on issues raised in 2010 State of the Nation address. This is not complete because we I still need to get a whole lot more information regarding the areas that you mentioned, like for example, looking at alleviating poverty within society, was one that was mentioned in the previous year. So I'm just looking, for example, at this development of skills and producing additional engineers and technicians. The Department of Public Works, for example, had a bilateral agreement with Cuba to have engineers come to South Africa, or technical experts, because they're not only engineers, to come to South Africa for a 3 year on a 3 year contract, and that these technical experts would then be placed within the provinces so that they can allow for mentorship and skills transfer. They were supposed to be over 200 of these engineers, but the department only managed to procure 179. And this contract period comes to an end this year. Just in terms of the department, we'll see that in their latest strategic plan. I've just got a draft, and there's a moratorium on it until the it's approved. But they do mention, for example, that there is another bilateral agreement with Cuba regarding the technical experts, and that it will run for 10 years. Then the capital works investment, as I said, was one that was mentioned in 2010 already. And basically, we've now got a new sort of a new list of priorities that have been mentioned. And one of those priorities is with regard to localizing the manufacturing of these turbines, boilers, etc., locomotives, because prior to this, some of these locomotives and things were imported. And then, as I indicated, the eradication of corruption in the procurement and tender process. I looked again at the department, the auditor general's audit of the department in 2019, and these are basically some of the areas where they indicated they had to dismiss people for misconduct, for example, and the amount of disciplinary hearings that they had to conduct. And they just list, for example, false statements, steal bribes or commit fraud, that was 20 people, four related to the abuse of state vehicles, and one was the failure to comply with the provisions of the property management and development system. So that means that this call for placing systems, putting proper systems in place in terms of the procurement system is one of the major areas that the Auditor General has mentioned, that in many instances, not only the department itself, but sometimes its entities do not have proper systems in place to ensure that no corruption or funds disappear or things in that line occur. So, just in terms of the conclusion, I mentioned that we're looking again at the infrastructure development, which was supposed to answer the recession that the country Statistics South Africa indicate that you'll only know at the end of this year how successful this intervention has been. We also look at, for example, that skills development and job creation has been a major part or component of the 2011 State of the Nation. But it is actually one of the areas that has consistently been a matter of concern since 1994, for example. But where the community public works program was one of the ones that was launched at that time. And it crystallized in 2004 with the expanded public works program phase one and then the continuation with the second phase of the program. And the last part, of course, is again the performance and evaluation and monitoring. There is a specific note that says that Parliament must fix Parliament to monitor government progress in prioritizing and adhering to the requirements of creating jobs. And that one, for example, would be a major area that this portfolio committee would be concerned with, especially in monitoring the public works program, but also in monitoring the department itself in filling its vacant position. So that, in a nutshell, is...
Thank you.